You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This episode of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, a live mailbag. And I'm doing it on Instagram Live. I've also asked people to send in their questions via Twitter, at Locked On Nuggets. So if you're not following those two, you're missing out. Haven't done one of these for a long time. Haven't really done a lot of Instagram for quite a while. Are you not getting... I'm seeing somebody say no audio. Is there audio on there? Because... What's up, everything, Nuggets? Because this is a live one, it's a little bit different than usual. I will be interacting with fans as the questions come in. So... go ahead and fire away. I'm going to go with my first one from Jesse Santana on Twitter. Again, this is replying to at Locked On Nuggets. What do you think about Devin? What do you think adding Devin Harris will do for the Nuggets offense? I think I'm a big Devin Harris fan. Anybody that hangs in the league for 13, 14 seasons, especially at the guard position, they're either a star player or a high-level role player, and I think Devin Harris is a high-level role player. I love those kind of guys. I think what he does for the Nuggets offense is he allows Will Barton to be Will Barton. Off of the bench, that means Will Barton's still going to have the ball in his hands a lot, but he doesn't have to worry about playmaking duties as a point guard, dribbling the ball up, getting everyone settled. So I think it lets Will Barton get back to his more natural spot. I don't think it's a coincidence that Will Barton went off for 16 third-quarter points when he played alongside of Devin Harris in that third quarter. So I think he just allows guys like Trey Lyles, Will Barton, just to kind of play their more natural position. So I'm with it. Is Jokic finally back from his slump? This is also from Jesse Santana. I think so, at least for the time being. You know, I think a couple things played into his slump. One thing playing into it was the fact that I just don't think the ball had been popping for most of the season. I think the Nuggets offense had been a little too obvious. Giving it a little bit more freedom, I think, plays into Jokic's hands. I always compare Jokic to Peyton Manning, where I don't think you have to have somebody on the sideline calling every... when you got Peyton Manning, you let Peyton Manning's brain take over. I think the same is true of Jokic. And honestly, true of Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, all of these guys. They're smart players. They're really smart players. And the more you just let them read and react to what's going on the court, the better off they're going to be. And I think that's what we've seen over these last couple games. It's from Derek Drago on Twitter. Considering how bad the defense has been post All-Star break, before Millsap comes back, would you go back to Plumlee Jokic? How do you solve the defensive issues until Millsap gets back? So the question is, what would you do? And I would not. I would play a lot of Plumlee Jokic minutes together. Not a lot. I would play 10 to 15 minutes a game of them together, but I wouldn't start it. I think more important than the defense for the Nuggets is getting their offense going, because they're going to win with offense. They're going to tread water with their defense. Their defense is going to be just good enough to kind of get by, but I think offensively they're going to be better than most teams most nights. So I think getting that offense moving, I would start Barton and Wilson Chandler. I like that starting unit. But I would go to Plumlee at the six-minute mark, and I would overlap Jokic and Plumlee together. I think they were starting to play better together towards the end of their run anyway, starting to figure each other out. But I do think the most important thing right out the bat is gaining sort of the offensive presence, and then hopefully that kind of continues for 48 minutes. Why do you think the team is waiting to bring Plumlee back? He seems like he could play either tomorrow or against the Bucks, and Nuggets could definitely use the minutes. That's coming from Isaac Gillen. I actually don't think he looks like he could come back. I think, you know, the training staff will bring him back as soon as possible. And Malone even said today at practice that possibly, you know, he's like, probably he'll come back right after the All-Star break. So it makes me think that, you know, they're not even convinced that he's 100% coming back right afterwards. So I think they'll bring him back as soon as possible. Has Kenneth Faried's contract made him impossible to trade? Impossible, no, but impossible to trade without bringing, you know, without adding a pick to it. So unfortunately, this is where the NBA is so interesting. You know, it's so hard to make the big moves, like finding Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Like, it's a miracle the Nuggets found these, and it's a huge credit to the front office that they were able to bring those guys in. those type of thing, those type of plays change a franchise, those type of decisions. And so they get that. Little mistakes like paying Kenneth Faried too much money, they can really derail a team. And I think fortunately that mistake happened early enough in sort of this rebuild that it's only hurting the Nuggets for 1 year, this upcoming year. But that just shows you how every contract, every draft pick, every little decision actually has huge ripple repercussions down the line. So his contract, I think it is impossible to trade at the moment. I think it becomes more possible to trade as time goes by. How would your rotations look down the stretch, assuming full health? This comes from Ray Martinelli. Good question. I would close games with Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap, no question about it. I think if you need a little bit more offensive punch, you go to Will Barton. If you need more defensive punch, you go to Wilson Chandler. Now there's, you know, situational, this guy's feeling it. I think there's room for, there's wiggle room there. But I think those four guys that I just mentioned, I think the Nuggets are probably close to the point where they know those four guys are the four guys that are the best guys on the court, the best guys on the roster. And whether they're having a hot night or cold night, I think you ride with those guys. I mean, to me, you start to develop camaraderie and the team expects, they all kind of know their roles. The last 6 minutes, those are the guys that you go to. So at the very last, the last minute of the game, maybe you go offense, defense, and you swap Plumlee in for Jokic for defensive purposes, maybe Wilson in, and maybe even you go like with Torrey Craig as a point guard instead of Jamal Murray for offense, defense, possessions. But if you're just talking about the last, you know, 6-7 minutes of a game, that's how I would do it. You initially said Devin Harris might be around 10 to 12 minutes a game. Do you still see that being the case or closer to 18 or 20? That's a good question. This comes from Adam Michael John. I would say I still think that probably 15 minutes a game is what Devin Harris is going to play. There will be nights like the other night where Jamal Murray just doesn't have it. I think Jamal Murray may be dealing with an injury or something nagging. He's last couple games I thought he's been a little bit off. But I still think 15 minutes per game is probably appropriate for Devin Harris. I don't know that he really wants to play too many. He's old. He's my age, 34. When Millsap gets back, do you see Malone going with Plumlee Jokic? See, this is a different question. This is what do you see Malone doing? I think no question about it. When Plumlee is back post All-Star break, he will start. And look, I disagree with it. It's not the end of the world. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I just happen to have a different take on it. But the Nuggets can win, and their defense, no question about their defense, looks better, has looked really, really bad since Mason Plumlee has gone down. So I do think he will start. Any chance Lyles gets minutes at the three when Millsap returns? I don't see it. I don't think Lyles can play the three. I think he's a backup power forward and play most of his minutes there. How bad did the Nuggets need this All-Star break coming up? Bad. And I think every team in the NBA needs it. It's funny. We've seen a lot of fights in the NBA over the last couple weeks, and Matt Moore put this theory out there. I think it might be because these guys are just tired and fatigued and annoyed, and they really need this break. NBA guys, you know, the guys that go to All-Star weekend, I think that's a very busy weekend. Jokic talked about how exhausted he was at the end of the All-Star weekend. I think it really is. There's so many obligations. You have to go to practice. You have to do promotional events. You have to do a bunch of crap. You don't just get to hang out and go to parties. For all the other guys, this is like some guys take off to the Bahamas or, you know, go down to Cancun for a weekend. I think a lot of guys just desperately need to get away for basketball and clear their mind for 3 or 4 days. So that they can kind of refresh and recharge the batteries. Did you hear Barton's comments regarding LeBron on road tripping? I don't think I did. I mean, I listened to the podcast, but I forgot what his comments were about LeBron. Alexander Babich. I might have been saying Babich or Babich. Are you 100% sure that 5 years max will come July 1st for Jokic and he takes it? He is happy with Malone in the offense question. I'm pretty sure that when he becomes restricted free agent, Divots and the Lakers are going to call, even if they don't get a sit down with him. So this is a question I think a lot of my Serbian followers have thrown out. Like, are we sure that Jokic is going to get a max from the Nuggets? And are we sure that he is content and going to take it? Here's what you have to know. Jokic doesn't really have a choice. If the Nuggets offer, I do think the Nuggets will offer him whatever he wants. They might approach him about, hey, you know, we maybe will be more flexible down the line if you do this or whatever. They might try to go with that, but if he's not filling it, I think the Nuggets will absolutely say, if you want a max, we will give you a max. I think they'd be crazy not to. So I don't think that's as much as a risk as people seem to think it is. I do think they'll probably ask and talk and say, hey, if we do this, maybe we can go after so-and-so in 2019 and our team, you know, we could pay Barton and keep Barton. I think they'll talk to him about those things. But ultimately, I think they'll make it known that whatever he wants, he gets. Now, your question kind of made it sound like, are we sure Jokic accepts? I'm pretty sure. I mean, first of all, I think Jokic is really happy in Denver. I know a lot of people like to play armchair psychologist and, oh, he looked like he was upset about Malone about this. I'm sure every player has things they're upset about with an organization, but I don't think that, I really think that on the whole, he is very, very content. A lot of the things I see, one of the craziest things about covering the NBA and kind of seeing at least a little bit more behind the curtain than the casual fan is, you see a lot of crazy theories thrown around that, oh, did you notice the guy didn't stand up and applaud after that three? He probably hates so-and-so. Like, I think fans, the number one thing they have to admit, and I have to do this as a writer, is there's a lot we don't know. And with Jokic, everything I have observed about him, and I feel pretty confident saying this, I think he's pretty content. I'm sure he has some things that he doesn't like about the Nuggets organization or coaching staff or front. Like, I'm sure every player has those types of things, but I think on the whole, he's pretty content. And then you're talking about a financial incentive of, he makes less than $2 million a year. If he was to turn down and try to force his way into unrestricted free agency next year, he would be taking on a huge risk and forfeiting a ton of money, like $30 million. So I don't expect that to be what he does. I think the Nuggets will probably offer him the full max and he'll sign it. His other option is to go into free agency if somebody else offers him something and then he could sign it. But I think this is going to be a non-story, guys. I really do. Herbert asks, when will Adam Mamadez, baby Jokic, return to full pickup basketball form? I'm back to full. I'm out there on the court now like 3 or 4 times a week. But the knee is like at like 60%, 65%. So sadly, pickup baby Jokic is more of like a baby Diaw, Boris Diaw at the moment. But every month, a little bit better. How many Phoenix Suns should be traded to the G League? Ooh, Luis Rodriguez. I'm not touching that one. I don't need to get into some beef. Let's see. Will Millsap have to reintegrate into the offense like the start of the season, or do you think he'll be able to pick up where he left off? Grant Carey. $1 million question. Might be the question that determines if the Nuggets make the postseason or not. I think that he will probably be a little bit more passive coming back from injury than he would have been before. And by that, I mean, I think he will probably, the Nuggets will probably play through him less and more ask him to play to fit in. Just because coming back from injury, you don't want to put too much of a burden on a guy. He'll probably play, like when he comes back, he'll probably play 20 minutes his first night out and ease back into minutes. So I suspect that it'll be a little bit more of a smooth transition. But I'll tell you what, the one thing is, Millsap improved the defense immediately. We always think about the offensive end of the court. The defensive end of the court, I think, improves almost immediately once he steps on the court. And the offense, even if it does take a little bit of a step back, I think that the Nuggets will probably be in a better groove by then. Do the Nuggets ultimately need more length and shot blocking to be a top 10 defensive team? This is a good question. Philip Joseph on Twitter. I think, yes, I've said I think that Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Nikola Jokic are the trio of the future. That's the Nuggets' big three going forward. And their weaknesses, you know, shooting, great offense. I think you can build a lot of great offenses with a lot of different types of players at the three and the four. But I think the two things that you absolutely need from those positions, the three and the four, actually I'll say three things. One is a high IQ. If Jokic is going to be effective, you just can't put stupid players on his team. And what I mean is like ball hog, isolation, you can't put those guys on a team. If you're going to maximize Jokic, Harris, Murray, you're going to have smart guys that know how to space the floor. But you need length and you need defense. So for me, I'm looking at those spots and I'm thinking, yeah, you absolutely need some length. You need I think guys like Taj Gibson that type of player would really be really good as the power forward next to Jokic. And then he's your three, just a lot of length. I mean, obviously your superstars are Kevin Durant, Paul George, Giannis, those types of players. But, you know, Robert Covington is the mold of player that I think can play the three for the Nuggets. Just a lot of length, can guard forward positions, and then can kind of stand in the corner, stand out of the way and knock down open shots when they come to him. How many road wins does the team need in order to make the playoffs? Another good question. I mean, the Nuggets road record is probably another thing that's going to determine whether they make it into the playoffs, because they go on the road for like the entire last 6 weeks of the season. They have some huge road trips. That'll be gut check time. Anybody knows how many days Torrey has left? Nobody has any ideas of that. Those are my Twitter questions. Let's go back to Instagram now. I got a bunch of Instagram questions here that I'm behind on. Let's see here. Been forever since I've done an Instagram live. What has it been, like 2 months? Where are my questions at? Do you listen to the Road Trippin' podcast? Any thoughts? I love it, other than one thing. I think I used to have, you know, the number one Nuggets podcast in Denver. Now I have to say I have the number two podcast. I think it's hilarious. I love it. RJ's great. You know, Mason Plumlee's really good on that show. I wouldn't have guessed it. You know, I didn't really know his personality until he went on that show. He's really funny. I think it's great. There's no other way for us as fans to kind of get the personalities of these players other than from an environment like that where they trust each other and they can really open up. So I love it. I think it's great. You know what's funny about that? Even when Jokic is in a slump, he's still amazing. True that. You guys know me. There's not many people out there that are more higher on Nikola Jokic as a player than me. I still maintain through the slump, through everything, I still maintain he was the team's best player by a mile, and that he is one of the league's best and most impactful players on the offensive end, that you can guarantee yourself a top five offense with him being on the court if you play through him. So I'm super high on him, and yeah, it's crazy to me. I think the Nuggets this season have gotten like 80% out of him, in part, you know, just natural, some of the combinations and figuring each other out and you know, some growing pains and this and that. But in part, I think just because they hadn't played through him the same way. Free for Reed. Yeah, I don't think that's happening. If Darrell Arthur can't convince Malone to play for Reed, I think he's on the bench. And maybe he should be. I'll be honest. The Nuggets are the reason you would play for Reed is for energy and to get the offense humming. The offense is fine. Freed's not really going to help your defense, I don't think. Do you like Malone switching Jokic for Plumlee in closing minutes? You seem bigger on Jokic's defense than Malone is. that's definitely true. And I got to say, Jokic's defense has been pretty bad lately. I don't know that he has the stamina to play both ends of the court for 48. I think what he's done over this last 10-game stretch is he's played great offense for most of the game and good defense for the fourth quarter. And I'm sure that's tough for a coach. I'm sure that Malone hates it. But I think Jokic kind of knows, every player knows like how much energy is in the tank. And if you go all out for 48 minutes, I think a player like Jokic won't last a half. So for me, you know, there's been a couple games where third quarter or fourth quarter, he starts to lock in on defense. And he's never going to be, well, I won't say never. He's not an elite defender right now. But when he locks in, I think he can do a lot of good stuff. Plumlee, our best rim protector. It's not saying a whole lot. I mean, I think Plumlee, I think, really has figured out a synergy next to Jokic, though. I will say that. His defense next to Jokic had been really, really good. Is Jokic connected to teammates? You hear about Gary and Will, Jamal and Malik, and Jokic and Sparky or his brothers. Is he tight with anyone? You know, my answer is I don't know. I would say I think everybody likes Jokic, and I think Jokic likes everybody. I think Jokic seems to me like a guy that, I mean, he is what you guys think he is. I mean, he's like, he seems very carefree, happy-go-lucky, gets along with everyone. Nobody really hates him. You know, the language barrier, he's really close with his family, so I don't know how much he's like going out and you know, hitting up the club with Will Barton or whatever. But I think they all get along. I think they all respect each other and like each other. And then Wilson's his locker mate. You know, those guys are right next to each other. Mason's on the other side of him. I think they talk a lot and get along and, you know, so there's no beef. I mean, I think the team is very, very, very close, but it's not like AAU where like guys are like having sleepovers or I don't know what, you know, guys are like together, connected at the hip 24/7. So some guys that way, but I think for the most part, guys just get along and that's it. Who do you think is the biggest threat to take the Nuggets spot in the playoffs? That's a great question coming from Clayton Aber. Utah, no question about it. They won their 10th straight game tonight, beating the Spurs, hopefully wearing the Spurs out for the Nuggets game. I think Utah's incredible. I think their defense is for real. They've got a lot of my favorite players. Joe Ingles, everybody knows. Derek Favors. Rudy Gobert. I mean, they just have a great team, and I think they're extremely well coached, and I think they know who they are. You know, maybe if Millsap, think when you talk about the 10-game win streak, you know, Gobert came back. Imagine if Millsap came back and the Nuggets went on a 10-game win streak immediately after he came back. I think you would be pretty high on the Nuggets. You'd say, oh, okay, now they got that missing piece. Everything's clicking and they're going well. That's basically what's happened to Utah, guys. They got their roster back to help, and now they're just steamrolling everybody. And steamrolling, maybe not the right word, but they've won a lot of games against top teams. So I think they're definitely in. And one other team, you know, I think it's Portland, New Orleans, the Clippers, Denver kind of vying for, if I assume Utah's in, and I kind of do, I think the Clippers fall out. Portland, I think, is a bigger threat to Denver to kind of knock them out of the playoffs or knock them a spot down in the playoffs. So, unfortunately, back-to-back years, it might be Denver or Portland. Let's see. What do I got here? Thoughts when Gary Harris said that if we come out flat against Houston, we shouldn't practice the rest of the year. You know, I think there is some truth to this, and I think Malone even admits as much, and I think everybody, you know, kind of does, is – you know, these guys are exhausted this time of year. People don't respect, I don't think, the level of intensity that an NBA game is. These guys are the best athletes in the world. They're running way faster. Would you go and play a pickup game and guys will be like, oh, I played pickup for 2 hours? No. NBA games are incredible. So I really encourage people to try to sit courtside for like a summer league game or an NBA game or get as close to the court as you can see. You can see just how fast these guys are, how strong they are, how much energy they put in. It looks on TV sometimes, it looks like these guys are dragging it up and down the court. These guys go all out. And a single basketball game for starters, like starters minutes, 32 minutes, it would be like akin to you running a half marathon or something. These guys are using a ton of energy. So when you play 3 games in 4 nights, and then you got to travel in between and all that stuff. I mean, these guys really are exhausted. So I think there is some truth to this. When you get to February, these guys are just so tired that practice could be the difference between them feeling fresh the next day or not. And so there's probably some truth to that. I would say that after this All-Star break will probably, for most of the guys on the team, provide a nice kind of reset to give them energy for the final push. How do you think Malone will perform in a playoff series? Good question. That's coming from Omar Wen. That's a good question. I don't know. You look at it, almost certainly Denver will finish 6, 7, 8. There's a chance they get higher. But you're talking about going up against Golden State, which... I mean, how good could he possibly coach? There's no right adjustment for Golden State, fully engaged, like we've seen half Golden State. We've seen Golden State half effort. Full effort Golden State is maybe the greatest team of all time, at least probably a top five team of all time. So how many adjustments can he really make? You go up against Popovich, you're talking about maybe the greatest coach of all time. So he probably gets out coached in that series, even if he does a good job. You know, Mike D'Antoni, an offensive savant in Houston who like just has Denver's number. So odds are that he does it, that however he does, it's not going to look good because Denver's going to have an uphill battle. That being said, I think Malone is one of those guys that, I've never questioned the effort and the time he'll put in. So I think he always will have the team sort of prepared and knowing he'll always know what the other team's going to try to do. It's going to be hard to judge him off of one playoff series. I will say he is one of the guys, just like Jokic, Harris, Murray, he's one of the guys that needs the experience. So even if he gets outcoached, it's going to be important for him just as a growing experience. Warriors let Iggy coach tonight. Who would Malone let draw up a play? Oh, man, that's a good question. Man, if he was to hand over the clipboard to a player, Darrell Arthur is probably like number one guy he would trust in that situation. Devin Harris, I imagine now that he's here, would be a guy. Man, I don't think Malone would let somebody draw up a play. But outside of that, who would even try to? You know, Jamal Murray, I know he would call like an elevator set for himself. So Jamal Murray would definitely call his own number. Will Barton would definitely call his own number. I don't know, maybe Jokic, maybe Plumlee. I'll go with Darrell Arthur, though. I like that question. Random thought, do you think Chandler stepped up after realizing Denver could not trade him at all? No. Again, these are the type of questions that I think, you know, it could be. That it's entirely possible and logical, but it's also entirely logical that it's not true. And it's just like he had a good game or, you know, whatever. So I think a lot of times we read the tea leaves and we come up with conspiracy theories, and a lot of times they're wrong. So could it? Yeah, it could be. But my guess is he just had a good game. What does Harris need to add to become an all-star? It's a good question, too. I think, you know, mostly I would say defense. Right now, I think his offense is pretty consistent. His shot has been a little less consistent this year than in years past, but, you know, his shot, I think, more or less is still pretty consistent. If he became thought of as an elite defensive player, which I think he has the talent to, again, it's hard to be a two-way player in this. It's really hard to be a two-way player. But if he was like a lockdown guy and he was thought of as a lockdown guy, he would be an all-star. So that's probably what it would take. How to improve Jokic's defense. Number one, and I say this over and over again, number one, he's got to get stronger. I think he needs stronger quad strength. I think he needs to drop a little bit of weight. I just think he needs better core strength. All of those things, because I think he sees the court well enough, and I think he reacts and stuff well enough. I just think it's too exhausting for him, and his foot speed is really low. So improving his foot speed and just getting stronger and leaner, and he'll be a good defensive player. Is he capable of that? I mean, we don't know because we've never seen it, but I don't think there's anything up here that that he can't, you know, he can't do. When Millsap's back, do you think he could ruin the chemistry? He could, but I don't think he will. I think the Nuggets defense desperately needs him. And if the offense takes a little hit, that's okay. I think they'll figure it out eventually. If the Nuggets can't keep Craig for the rest of the season, who do you think would be a good replacement? Or will Malone just cut the rotation? That's a good question. You figure, fully healthy, they've got both Millsap and Plumlee in the rotation. So that's you're adding those two guys. I don't know that they'll necessarily replace him as much as they'll just play. You start playing Devin Harris more. You play Will Barton and Wilson Chandler more, maybe even Trey Lyles more. So I don't think you're going to see like Malik Beasley steps into the rotation or anything like that. I think when everybody's healthy, you got your starters, which will be Millsap, Jokic, Harris, Murray, and probably Wilson. And you got your bench of Devin Harris, Will Barton, Trey Lyles, Mason Plumlee, and that's a nine-man rotation. I think that's probably what you go with. Do you think Millsap's contract is way too huge? Nope, not at all. You know, the third year, the Nuggets had money to spend for this year and next. I think they'll be able to shed some of those contracts over the summer at the deadline, if Wilson Chandler opts in, Darrell Arthur and Kenneth Fareed. I think they'll be able to get off of those deals before the trade deadline next year. And then after that, you know, Millsap is basically an expiring contract next year. The way you look at it, I know there's that third-year team option. I would be shocked if Denver picked up that team option, really shocked. I think what happens is because it's a team option, Denver can decline the option but then restructure his deal and do a new one, and that's what I expect happens. I think the Nuggets next year make a step up, assuming health. They become even better, maybe one of the top four teams in the NBA. By next season, top five teams in the NBA, top four in the West. And at that point, I think your hope is everybody on the roster and some players around the league see Denver as a legitimate threat. They look at Denver the same way teams look at Minnesota right now and say, man, this is an up-and-coming team. They're maybe one piece away. And that's when you go to Paul Millsap and say, hey, look, let's restructure your deal. I know you're set to make $30 million next year. What if you made $40 million over the next 3 years and we do an extension and it just carries you on for the next 3 years? I think that's what Denver does with Millsap following next season. Should Jamal rest All-Star weekend, or is it important to spend time with stars? He's not going to. I think, you know, players like that. It's a showcase. It's an opportunity for him to kind of go out there and show the world what he's got. We know that he jumped on the national stage last year. There's a lot more buzz about him this year, so I think he really wants to show out. After his game on Friday, though, you know, your hope is that Nikola Jokic maybe talks to him and says, hey, man, you gotta find some rest in there because you're going to be exhausted by the end of it. Remember how bad Jokic played coming out of that break. So it'll be interesting to see. It's a big weekend for Jamal. I want him to get all the accolades and for people to start talking about him. I think that's important. It is important for him to be around other stars, but I do think having to play Thursday night in Milwaukee and then fly from Milwaukee to LA for like a 9 a.m. practice, brutal. He's going to be exhausted. How much joy do you take in Blazer fans starting to turn on Nurk? I can't say joy. I'm not that awful of a person, but I will say I'm not surprised. You know, he played way better for way longer than I thought, and he's still a good player. I've never questioned Nurkic's talent, but I am happy that the issues that he had here in Denver were not unique to Denver. There was a time where you kind of worry, like, man, maybe he wasn't as bad as just Denver was. That no, I think there's something to him, and the way he kind of doesn't have it always up here. That's my read on him. Are our expectations low for this team? I look at the standings, and we are only 4 games back from the 3 seed. Are we up there with a healthy Millsap? That's a great question. You know, a lot of teams have gone through injuries this year, so I don't think it's fair. Like, Utah is probably also there if they have Gobert all year. So, you know, fully healthy, I think a lot of teams are better than what – DeMarcus Cousins gets hurt. You know, if he's healthy, I think they're better. So, there's a little bit of that going on. San Antonio, obviously better if they have Kawhi Leonard all year. So there's a little bit of that going on, but I will say the Nuggets, in some ways, this Millsap getting hurt helped guys like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. I don't think that they would have had the breakout season that they did this year if it weren't for that. But if Millsap was fully healthy, I think the team would have been the fourth best team in the West this year, at least record-wise. Can we be the 5th seed this season? Yeah, we can. I would not bet on it. The Nuggets have a tough schedule, and it's funny. They're on they've won 7 of their last 10 games, and their offense is like really good, but it always feels like they're teetering on the edge of chaos. So it depends on how optimistic you are on this last 10 games. I still think 5th seed is probably just a hair outside it, out of reach. It looks like that's it, guys. That was a good turnout. A lot of questions on this one. It was a lot of fun. I think the next 2 games, I don't know what to expect from the Nuggets these next 2 games. San Antonio played tonight in Utah. They are famous for resting guys on the second night of a back-to-back, although I will say the Nuggets are on TNT tomorrow, and they've got the Spurs on national television, so maybe the Spurs don't rest. They rested LaMarcus. I think LaMarcus is definitely not playing. But the Nuggets look pretty tired, and San Antonio is a tough team, so I don't know what to make of that game. And then the Milwaukee... The game before the All-Star break, I don't think anybody should make any predictions, because who knows where people's mind frames are for that game. But yeah, that'll be it. Should be fun. And then after things really get serious after the All-Star game. Thanks so much, everybody, that tuned in on Instagram. Again, if you want to participate in these, follow us at the Denver Stiffs. You can also follow on Twitter at Denver Stiffs, at Adam_Matas, and at Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.